Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're looking at the second part of God's formula for success. We looked at last week, we started this and we looked at Nehemiah. We looked at the what it took, you know, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. It was evident that God was moving. People were, they requested God's word. They read God's word. They received God's word. And then they responded to God's word. And finally, they rejoiced in God's word. And that was in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be looking here at Joshua now, chapter 1. And this is a good section. When you think success, what comes to mind?
Money.
Exactly. We think, when people today think of success, they think of worldly gain. They think of nice cars, nice houses, nice attire, or whatever. That's successful. But we're not talking about that type of success tonight. We're talking about godly or spiritual success. But we're going to start reading there in the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." That's something. God speaking to Joshua, saying, "I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance for the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." There's that word prosperous. "And then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Have you ever met somebody who wanted to be a failure? I don't think I ever have. Everybody wants to succeed in life. We all want to succeed in what we do. Failure hurts. It always is a part of being human. But see, failure is not a bad thing. I mean, we see it as a bad thing. But failure after failure after failure after failure, eventually you become a success. And that's not a bad thing. Some people fail and they give up. We all fail sometimes due to lack of preparation or bad decisions we've made, the wrong influence of friends, or ignorance. Whatever the reason, we didn't want our efforts to turn out that way. That's why we need to know what God says about success. So as God prepared Joshua to lead the children of Israel in the promised land, he told them four times to be strong and courageous. And we see that. We didn't look at the last time, but we're going to turn over there to verse 18. And it says, "Whosoever he that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." God was trying to encourage him time and time again. See, twice God says, "Observe to do." We see that in verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." And then we also see it there in verse 8. about midway down. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that which is written therein. So what's he talking about, observing? Well, the first step to our success is obedience. That's why we sang, you know, trust and obey tonight. Because we need to simply trust the Lord, but we also need to obey Him. We're going to be turning to, let's look at, see, verse 5 here says, they shall not have any man able to stand before them. Thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. We can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We've got a few scriptures to turn to tonight. But Deuteronomy chapter 31. In verse 1 it says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations for before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Here it is. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Does that sound familiar? He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And see, we see here one little thing about Moses there. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. Why? Because of disobedience. He did not listen. Because he allowed them to stir him up to the point of getting angry, and he struck the rock twice, and he was told to strike it once. And God told him he was going to be able to see it, but he wasn't able to go into it. Why? Because of his disobedience. But then we also see there in verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Well, the reference goes to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. What's that say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He says, be strong and of good courage. We can do everything God asks us to do through Christ. He gives us the ability to do that. Then we see there in verses 7 and 8, as we was pointing out there, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is a very good chapter. 1 Samuel 15. And we'll go ahead and read down through some of it. A couple, and I might skip a few verses and bring it to where we need to for sake of time. But 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all. Just remember what he's saying here. Destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, and 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. He took the Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What happened there? He was told to destroy everything. kill everyone, man and woman, and then all the different animals he mentioned. And utterly destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Do you see the problem? He disobeyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he perform the commandment of the Lord? No, he didn't. And then he says, and Samuel says, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said that they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, You have I obeyed with the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalekite, and had utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Since when does the people tell the king what to do? Who was responsible? The king. But then we see there in verse 22, it says, And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. See, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God has no interest in anything we have to offer him if we're not living in obedience to him. None. See, God warned Joshua about the dangers of distractions when he said, Turn not from it the law to the right hand of the right. We were looking back in Joshua 1. He warned them, Don't turn to the left or to the right. But how easy is it for the things of the world to turn us away from God's word? We hear about it all the time. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to lose focus. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So it's better to obey than sacrifice. It's better to obey than sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 to 27 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, he's talking about beating his body into subjection. It's a continual, as I've said before, is we have to die to self-desires. We have to die to our own things, and we need to surrender our wills to the Lord. It's a daily process. And Paul's saying, hey, I keep my body, I beat it into shape, I keep it under and beat it into subjection. He's constantly having to do that. That's what we need to do. That's why it's so important for us to go to Scriptures, go to God daily, spend time with Him, so He can feed our souls, and our spirit is going to overcome our flesh. But then we see there in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, we see that, you don't have to turn back, only be thou strong and very courageous. This is verse 7 of chapter 1 of Joshua. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's living in complete obedience to the Lord. We will be prosperous. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's why it's important for us to sing hymns, songs, because we're lifting the name of the Lord up. And also the hymns that we sing are doctrinally sound, so therefore they teach doctrine as well, which is teaching godly principles from God's Word. But we're to... It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And he's saying in the New Testament, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, God then commanded, we need a biblical focus, which is essential for our success. We need to be focused. If our relationship with the Lord is not right, then no other relationship in our life will be right. That's why it's number one to put Him first, because if it's not right here, then everybody else you're in relationship with is not going to be right. It never could be right. But He says, the book of the law shall never depart out of thy mouth. We're to let God's word dwell, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. But then we see there in verse 8, this is the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. You notice how we meditate. When you're meditating, you're taking God's word and just pondering it, thinking on it, as we do other things. We meditate in order to what? That we may observe to do according to that was written, that we may obey, that we may live in such a way that pleases Him. See, God, when He commanded him to meditate therein day and night, scriptural meditation is indispensable for success. God's word must condition your thinking. See, we must focus on Him, and we must let God's word, when we meditate on it, we dwell on it, we think about it. And we're going to turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, this is a very good psalm. It's also a song, we sing it as a song. But Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall be not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, God's going to bless, and He does bless. He's not obligated to bless, but He does bless a person who is living in obedience. It's proven throughout the Scriptures. See, David, in Psalm 37, let me turn there briefly, Psalm 37. Verse 25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his own. It says there in verse 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But then he says also, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And how does he give you the desires of your hearts? Because your desires, when you're walking with the Lord, are his desires. Your desires are going to align with his. That's why he'll give you what you want. And that's what happens. He aligns us to his will. If you desire to be spiritually successful, then we must follow God's plan. See, there's God's plan, and then there's our plan. And what happens? God's plan is always foolproof, but our plan, we fail. How many times have we fallen flat on our face when we did something we wanted to do and we didn't want to listen to nobody else? We fall flat on our face. I don't know how many times I have. Many times. See, remember, people in the world have a different standard by which they measure success, just like I mentioned at the beginning. They look at your banking account, but when God determines success, he looks at your heart. What does he see when he looks at your heart? One last scripture, Psalm 143. What does he see when he looks at your heart? Psalm 143 and verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. He's just talking about him meditating. Isn't it nice to sit back and think when we're brought back to that point of when we got saved and what God has done in our lives and the things that he's blessed us with? It's something to be able to sit there and ponder those things. But it's even better if we can sit there and ponder and think upon his word and memorize his word. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, God wants us to study his word. He wants us to read his word. He wants us to meditate upon it. He wants us to memorize it. Because if we take the time and instill it and put it in our hearts, guess what? He'll bring it to remembrance when we need it most. I don't know how many times I've been up here preaching and God will bring stuff to my remembrance as I'm preaching, and he'll bring scripture to my mind. And I don't recall those things, but I've learned them. And if we give God a chance, but he wants our obedience. Obey is better than sacrifice. Let's pray.